Blog Talk Radio.
Because the Cherokees was not always there. So they would call it Annie, they would call it Annie Indiga, which meant we the people. And all the tribes started naming themselves, like I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, we the people. Because that was the first line of the Iroquois Constitution. So when the Constitution was set up here as a remembrance of who they are, most of the Native Americans in their own dialect named the tribe we the people as a group, because we all had to unite to survive.
And attesting to this fact, Congress passed House Resolution 331, the Iroquois Confederation established the United States Constitution.
Part they don't mention is that there were already people here, there was black people already in America, which are the parents of all those people from different parts of Africa.
So most of us were shipped from America to Africa and Europe, contrary to popular belief.
Indigenous people of this land, the Chinese came in, mixed in with them, and produced what you're calling Native Americans today or Indians. And the Caucasian gave them all our rights.
Right.
Now they're walking around saying Cherokee, Choctaw, Seneca, Cheyenne, and we're walking around saying African, African, African.
Do you want to claim one part or the whole thing, Khalid Muhammad?
We got to go up against the world and tell them who the hell we are and stop letting them tell us who we are. They didn't change who we are in the last 100 years, 5 different times. We were nigger, Negro, Afro-American, not African-American.
We have invented the nigger. I didn't invent him. White people invented him.
And as long as you keep saying you're Negroes and accept organizations like the NAACP, you will never have rights to what is rightfully yours. You with me? But the moment you start saying, I am an indigenous person, sovereign, I belong to a sovereign nation, they can't do jack with it. Because they have admitted in their textbooks that they came to America, and when they got here, people were already here. And all you're saying to them is, correct, I am of the people that was already here when you got here.
Later, the Negro is still languishing in the corners of American society and finds himself in exile in his own land. Now, have you ever wondered what that passage meant from Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech? I did, and what I found was one of the biggest secrets that's not really a secret at all, except to many African Americans, is they are not descended from Africans. I know, I was shocked too, so much so that I asked Africans, and they agreed African Americans weren't Africans. If you don't believe me, Google Arnaldus Montanus America and see the people he saw in 1671. Read books like The Black American Handbook for Survival Through the 21st Century by Radine Amin-Ra, What Every African American Should Know by Cary Davis, and Africans and Native Americans by Jack Forbes. I just can't believe schools aren't teaching this stuff. What a travesty.
You know, in Augusta, Georgia, I used to shine shoes on the steps of radio station WRDW. I think we started at 3 cents, and we went to 5 and 6. Never did get to a dime. But today, I own that radio station. You know what that is? That's black power. Right here.
Don't send me no other place. I don't know nothing. Talk about my home. Just give me some Georgia, some Alabama, some Mississippi, some New York, and some California, Texas, and some North Carolina, and some South Carolina, and Virginia, some Illinois, and some West Virginia, some Dakota, South Dakota, North Dakota. See, I can't name all the different places now. If I leave anybody out, don't get mad, because I just, you know, just a cat trying to keep it going. Some Ohio, too, yeah. Some Indiana, Michigan. Yeah, I'm coming pretty good. Kentucky, Tennessee. Yeah, I'm getting it together, you know. Just give me a little time.
Oseo, Jalisco, this is El Rockman Bay. You are tuned in live to another episode on our Talk Songs of America Network. Indigenous Agriculture, Part 12. This is the final part of a 12-part series. I'd like to thank everyone for tuning in tonight. And as always, I'd like to thank the Oncasters for allowing me to use this platform and give out the information to the ancestors. From the ancestors to my people to the world. Okay. That being said, we're going to dive right into it. Tonight will be the last show on Indigenous agriculture. So, hey, leave y'all with kind of a lot of information and a pretty good show. It'll be tonight, as always. 10 minutes deep in the show, I will pause. That will be Q&A, question and answer. Okay. Then 20 minutes deep, excuse me, I will pause again. And there will be a Q&A, question and answer session again. Okay. I also have my co-host or moderator with me. So she's in the background. If she has any questions, she'll do what she does. Because I'm getting out of track. Okay. Now, tonight I want to make a little analogy because I am the god of analogy. Okay. We're dealing with agriculture, remember. Okay. Now, this movie may be too old for some people. This movie that I'm going to bring up. If you're under the age of 25, you know, you may not even have seen this movie. Okay, but anyway, it came out in 1986. Okay, and the name of this movie is Little Shop of Horrors. Okay, Little Shop of Horror. You know, it was a musical too. Well, it was a musical first, rather. Before they turn it into like a real movie, you know, and it was in Broadway before they transitioned to Hollywood. And what I bring this movie up because, like all movies, they always have a hidden message. They always have messages, subliminal, esoteric meaning. Okay. That you need to pay attention to, that they're constantly dropping for you so that you can get this information and utilize it. Now, Little Shop of Horrors is very important for what I'm dealing with tonight is because in it there's the main character, Seymour. Feed me, Seymour. I don't know if you heard that, if you saw the movie. But anyway, Seymour is like this geek or whatever. He finds this mysterious plant one day. Okay, he waters it, right? It's not really growing. It's starting to die out. Then one day, he cuts his finger. Seymour is over the plant, and his finger begins dripping blood. It drips blood into the plant, and the plant kind of opens up, and the blood goes into that plant's mouth. Finds out it has a mouth. It has teeth. Okay. And it was an accident, mind you. But somehow, Seymour is standing over this plant, and the blood gets into this plant's mouth, and it starts to grow greater. It was droopy earlier after it didn't get any blood, but now that it has blood, it's getting bigger, it's getting stronger. And day by day, he finds that if he just keeps pricking his finger or whatever, you know, that's going to keep it healthy. So he finds that it needs blood. Okay, and I'm going to just stop right there, okay, and just don't need to go any further and just explain why that's kind of crucial. Okay. Blood, on a biological level, is basically made of what element? Nitrogen. Okay, nitrogen is a very essential nutrient for plants. This is what gives them that lush, green, abundant growth. Okay, so that was kind of based off of a true story. And believe it or not, there's something called blood meal. This is the remnants or the leftover blood from, this mainly comes from slaughterhouses, like, because there's thousands of cows and thousands of pigs and all types of animals in these slaughterhouses. Where is all this blood going? Okay, well, there's something called blood meal, all right? If you look in the gardening industry, you know, it's very popular because, again, blood is found to contain nitrogen, a large abundance. If you know anything about gardening, there's something called an NPK rating. Nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium, those are like three main macronutrients that plants need for healthy growth. But anyway, that's blood meal is literally dried up animal blood or dried up blood, period. Okay. Slaughterhouses. And if you actually lay this blood meal down along the plant, they'll actually grow bigger, faster, stronger. Because they're, once that blood breaks down by the microorganisms in the soil, it'll make it available to the plant's roots so it can take it up as nitrogen. Okay? So that was like that analogy. It's literally true what they were saying by feeding Little Shop of Horrors, the movie. Okay, that's a real life fact. Blood meal will actually make your plants go bigger, grow bigger, stronger, faster. Let's see. Have any questions or comments or call in or whatever? Reading lies are open. It's a little bit different dealing with blood meal. Like I said, it's blood meal is powdered and dried livestock blood, okay, animal blood, right? And the reason that plants grow so vigorously and so strong is because blood meal works with bacteria and nematodes, okay, that are in the soil, which are small, tiny microorganisms, okay. Soil is alive, literally, with millions of life. You cannot see, but it's still there nevertheless. And anyway, these nematodes in the soil aid and break down the powder into nitrogen components so plants, like I said, can more easily absorb the nutrients, okay. And this also increases the bacterial process and adds life to your soil, okay, which is the goal is to increase that root growth, okay, for its overall root system. Because, like I said, you feed the roots of the plant, you feed the plant, all right, because that's what it's rooted in. It's in the soil. That's where most of its food comes from. It also comes from the sun. These three main things: sunlight, water, and air. All right, it's that simple. Of course, you need nutrients extra that all drain into the soil. You got to do away with that soil and start a whole new soil. You're probably gonna have to cover that up and grow on top of that, because you know a lot of the soil is harmful or bad. Let's see. Now is the time for a little question and answer. Anyone has any questions or comments? Now is the time.
want to say anything?
Yes, my question is, if they're using the blood meal, does that contaminate our fruits and vegetables?
Right, that's a very good question. You know, it could depend on, yes, that's a very good question, because it can depend on, like I said, you have to trace the source where the blood came from this livestock and animal. Blood disease, you know what I'm saying? I don't know what kind of blood disease they have out here. So, anyway, if that gets into the soil, it will affect the growth, you know, of the bacteria. But, again, once the blood, you know, reaches the soil, it has to be broken down even further by bacteria and et cetera in the soil. So, essentially, it really won't affect the food, you know, per se, just because it has to be broken down again and again so that it kind of purifies it or whatever before it reaches the root system. But, yeah, it's like certain the livestock or animal has some kind of blood disease that most definitely will affect the soil and everything around it.
Okay, thanks.
No problem.
Let's see, we also have a caller. That one caller. And like I said, the phone lines are open right now. Feel free to call in. Got a question to comment, do your thing. Last four digits ending in 8696. You got a question to comment.
I just want to say what's up to everybody, and I guess my comment here today is just I just keep spreading that knowledge, man. You know, it's appreciate, you know, every time I call in, I always learn something new. I see your posts, learn something new every day, and I'm still trying to expand my own horizon so I can provide some new information. But I just want to encourage everyone to just keep the keep this fight going. There's this conscious battle that's going on around us, and, you know, and just try to keep spreading awareness, you know? Just want to encourage everyone. That's it, really.
True talk, man. All right, thanks for calling in, bro. Where's the inspiration?
You asking me personally?
Yeah.
Well, for me personally, I guess the inspiration, we've spoke before. I'm on Instagram, the CHPA, and we've talked about, I guess melanin and Aboriginals, and because my family's from Central America, and I think there's a lot of for mine, I guess, pyramids over there. That's where my, I guess, inspiration comes from, man. I just want to, you know, just push beyond. I mean, because I was in the military, you know, I was in the Marine Corps. I did the whole thing. I guess I was on the other side. You know, I was all pro-America and all these things. And then I guess when I got out, I just realized that the grass wasn't greener on that side. You know, it was a bunch of lies and deceit, you know, profit for them. And, you know, we were hurting our indigenous people. And over here in California, I'm over here in California, and I've been trying to get involved with the Divest LA and trying to get Los Angeles County to divest, you know, from take their money out of the Wells Fargo accounts and just to, you know, because I'm sure you guys are aware of what's going on in North Dakota with the Dakota Access Pipeline. And, you know, I guess that's where I'm at now. You know, everything is just crazy. It's real. It's real. It's really real out there. And it's all hidden, you know, through these social media outlets, these TVs, these shiny new shoes, shiny new cars. It's, I don't know.
Right.
You humans are very gullible, and you put anything shiny in front of them, and you can take their mind off of whatever it is that's going on. And that's where my inspiration comes from. You know, it's just
word.
It's real.
that's true. Thanks for that, bro.
All right, I'm going to continue on. Got about 8 minutes remaining. K Okay, let's see. I also like, I want to deal with just like the chemical fertilizers and how harmful they can be just on the environment, just like in the soil and nature. And over-fertilization is a major concern. You know, as chemical fertilizers became more potent and their use more widespread, you know, all that water runoff from gardens and commercial farms contain far higher amounts of, like, toxic chemicals and pollutants. And, you know, it's going somewhere, going right back into the water system. It's going into the rivers, the ocean, et cetera. And that's really harmful. That's also causing, like, you know, a miniature ripple effect. It may not affect everything, but it's definitely affecting a lot of life, to be aware of that. And I ain't even gonna lie. Like, when I first started gardening, I was using Miracle-Gro. Because I just thought, hey, oh, man. Said you can grow your plants very much bigger and faster and stronger. And just use this every 2 weeks. Well, you know, I was doing it. But I noticed when I use chemical fertilizers instead of organic fertilizer, you can see the difference in the soil and the plant. It's true what it says on the package, like, Miracle-Gro using this chemical fertilizer, they will get bigger and stronger and produce a lot very quickly. But, like, they don't tell you that using this constantly, really even more than once, it'll deplete the soil. It'll kill lots of the natural organisms in the soil, okay? It'll bring more disease and just kind of pests. A different pest that I had never even seen before started coming on the plant after I started using Miracle-Gro after first year. The garden was pretty much horrible. Like, the soil was barely growing anything. You know, the seeds were slow to sprout if I planted in ground because the chemicals were still there in the soil. So I did a study. So I also had chemical fertilizers in one garden plot. And in a separate plot, I had organic fertilizer. And the difference was clear. It was strikingly clear. Like, the plants may not have grew as quickly using Miracle-Gro. They were stronger. They were healthier, like more resistant to disease as well, because it wasn't growing so quickly that the plant didn't have time to catch up to itself, right? So, and there's lots of advantages to growing, you know, so-called organically, because now they got USDA, that crap, government has to certify you to be organic, when most of the time it's really still using chemicals regardless. You definitely want to go organic, you know, in the long run. That would definitely help out the garden. It'll keep it being more productive. Because, like, in an organic garden, you're constantly adding amendment and you're constantly adding on the soil. So that way it's growing and it's flourishing and it's only getting better and richer for the plants to grow. But 5 years I've been growing organically and I'm seeing the best results. And I got like 3 minutes remaining. Anybody else want to call in? You know what I'm saying? Questions or comments? Feel free. You know, there's also a chat. The Flash downloader on Blog Talk. There's a chat. You can also post questions there, comments. I'll read them. Two minutes remaining. I don't see anyone calling in, so I'm going to continue. Well, just really wrap it up. You know, like I said, I do like every, so I try to touch on every topic and have them 12 episodes long. That way, you know, I can kind of touch on different points, stay around one focal point, but, you know, try to encompass everything around it. And, yeah, this is a conclusion of Indigenous agriculture. And, again, you can go on and on with these topics of every subject. Got 90 seconds. So I'd like to thank everyone for tuning in tonight. You know, I try to be on here 10 o'clock p.m. Central Time Zone daily. And, you know, don't forget to hit that follow button. That way you can be notified of or alerted of anything. So, you know, if I change the time or whatever, you can get that notification. Got 60 seconds remaining. Can't lie, tonight was a pretty great show. Glad I got to bring y'all to that, bring to your attention the blood meal and, you know, where that comes from. With that being said, your identity is your most powerful possession, because without it, you are no one. With that being said, everyone enjoy the rest of their night. I'll be on tomorrow. It's 5 p.m. Central Time Zone. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram, Rod Smith, and on Facebook at I Talk Times of America. Wanishi.
Because the Cherokees was not always there. So they were called Anyindiga, which meant we the people. And all the tribes started naming themselves, like I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, we the people, because that was the first line of the Iroquois Constitution. So when the Constitution was set up here as a remembrance of who they are, most of the Native Americans in their own dialect named the tribe, we the people.